Our scripture reading is from the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah, beginning the reading in the 21st verse. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like the star, like the tent, spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth. Then He blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me? Who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who numbers out their hosts and numbers them, calling them all by name. Because He is great in strength, mighty in power, and not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and grow weary. The young will fall exhausted, but those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right, I've got to get it out of my system. Don't remember the tune, but fly, eagles, fly. On the road to victory, fly, eagles, fly. Score a touchdown. One, two, three. Hit them low, hit them high, and watch our eagles fly on the road to victory. Okay, that's out of my system. Fly, eagles, fly. Since I have sports on the mind this week, which is not usual for me, that's my husband. He watches a lot of sports by himself. Pyeongchang, which you've heard of, is in South Korea, and it's going to do what this year? Host the Olympics. Yeah, the winter ones. The Winter Olympics are opening on the 9th of February, and they will conclude on the 25th of February. Wow. There will be about 100 nations participating, competing in 102 events. Of course, none of that's like the Super Bowl, right? And they're not, no. Scratch that. From alpine skiing to speed skating, from the biathlon to ski jumping, athletes will throw themselves down slopes, off ramps, across the ice in attempts to be faster, higher, stronger, and in line with the Olympic official motto, Sitis Altis Fortis, which is Latin for faster, higher, stronger. Pyeongchang is the second Korean site to host the Olympics after Seoul did in 1988 in the Summer Games. And this is the fourth time the Winter Olympics have been in Asia, after being held in Japan in 1972 and 1998. Athletes will get pumped up and put forth their best efforts while trying to keep things as simple as possible. In the last Winter Olympics, the goaltender of Finland's hockey team was asked to reveal his strategy. And he said, "My strategy is to stop the puck." I don't know what else would be the goaltender's strategy, but I'm glad that was it. It makes sense. Reflecting on her Olympic performance, a ski crosser from Switzerland gave this concise analysis. "Everything went smoothly until I crashed." Don't you just hate it when everything's going smoothly and you just crash? The coach of Canada's men's hockey team revealed this secret. "The main thing is to race over to McDonald's and get an Egg McMuffin before they shut down for the morning." That's good to know. Now we know why Canada has such a strong hockey team. It's all that tearing off to McDonald's. You may laugh, but Canada won the gold medal in hockey in 2014. Actually, they won two gold medals, one in the women's team and one in the men's team. They must do all gender races to McDonald's. That would be interesting. Anyway, I digress. One of the most unusual events in the Winter Olympics is the biathlon. This is a race in which athletes ski through the cross-country trail system and then stop and shoot at targets. The event is rooted in the traditions of Scandinavia and is an ancient way to pay respect to the Norse gods with skiing and hunting. In modern Norway, the biathlon has been used to promote civilian marksmanship to support national defense. The prophet Isaiah has his own type of biathlon, but it doesn't include skiing or shooting. Instead, Isaiah promises those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength, they will mount up with wings like eagles, they will run and not be weary. You've heard of the IOC, the International Olympic Committee. Well, this is the IOB, the Isaiah Olympic Biathlon. In Isaiah's Olympics, the biathlon includes flying and running. Athletes shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they will run and not be weary. But success in these events is not based on the consumption of Egg McMuffins. Instead, the preparation and training require waiting. Isaiah says those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Counterintuitive to everything we tell athletes to do. We're going for the gold, friends. We're going for the kingdom of heaven. So there's a few points here I want to make this morning, and the first one is wait. Of all the things that Isaiah challenges us to do, waiting is probably the toughest. We absolutely, as human beings, hate to wait. When we buy a product online, we want it to show up on our doorstep immediately, at least within the first 48 hours. When we pay for some same-day service, we don't want it tomorrow. When we order fast food, we get frustrated if it comes to us too slowly. But Isaiah says that good things come to those who wait for the Lord. To wait for God means to step off the daily treadmill and stop moving, even for just a minute. Take a moment to slow down, to feel God's presence, to listen to what God might be saying to us without expecting a specific or particular answer. But you say, how do I do this in my heavily scheduled life? Psalm 46, verse 10 says that provides a simple meditative exercise to help us wait for the Lord. It puts us in touch with the presence of God. This verse, very simple verse, if we repeat it slowly, and then with every repetition, drop off the last word until we get centered into the presence of God, would sound like this. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. When we slow down, we discover that God is the source of all that is, the great I am. When we wait for the Lord, we are confronted by the questions raised by the prophet. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is God who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. It is God. When we wait, we discover that our lives are in God's hands, that we are like the grasshoppers of the field, busy with so much. But we are cared for by the Creator who provides everything we need for life. The rulers of the earth have no power in comparison to Almighty God, and their schemes quickly blow away like dust in the wind. To whom then will you compare me? Asks God, the Holy One. Who is my equal? No one, of course. When we wait for the Lord, we see that no one compares to God and no one is God's equal. And we can rest in God's presence and trust that God will work for good in our lives. So first we wait. Second, we fly. To mount up with wings like eagles doesn't mean that we soar through life like ski jumpers off of the ski jumping stadium they've built in South Korea. No, to fly in Isaiah's Olympic biathlon means we rise above our earthly perspective and see the world from the vantage point of the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. So what does it mean to see things from an eagle's eye perspective? The Gospel of John offers us this particular point of view, and it is no accident that John's traditional symbol is the eagle, before we had eagles in Philadelphia. He begins his gospel by describing Jesus as God's Word, the one who in the beginning with God, creating all things. This Word of God became flesh and lived among us, says John, and we have seen his glory, the glory as the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. To mount up with wings like eagles is to see the world from the perspective of Jesus, the one who is full of grace and truth. Jesus offers grace to all people, seeing them as friends, not enemies. He practices hospitality, breaking bread with tax collectors and other sinners of all people. He heals the sick. He feeds the hungry. He welcomes outcasts. Just like the God of Isaiah, Jesus gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. In addition, he speaks the truth to all people, challenging them to seek the kingdom of God. Jesus invites us all to fly with him, to see the world with his eagle-eye perspective. And finally, we are to run. After waiting for the Lord and flying with Jesus, we can run and not be weary. You can bet the Olympic athletes have been doing a lot of running in preparation for the Winter Games. In addition to squats and lunges and weightlifting, this is a very demanding physical work. And Isaiah is right to say even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But God is more interested in our spiritual stamina than our physical strength. He wants us to be able to run with perseverance the race that has been set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. With our eyes on Jesus, we can run and not be weary. Even if we're on a cane, we can run and not be weary. Even when obstacles we face, such as job losses, personal relationship problems, moral failures, all those people who depend on us and take our attention away, we can stumble, but God in Jesus picks us up, dusts us off, and helps us start running again. The secret to winning the gold in Isaiah's biathlon is understanding that your strength comes from outside of you. Success does not come from making your body as powerful as it possibly could be, but it comes from turning your life over to God, who wants you to run successfully the race God has set before you. As the Olympian Gabby Douglas has said, "If you see my mouth moving at the Olympics before any competition, I am praying. It is up to God. He delivers us from so many obstacles." Deliverance from obstacles. That's what God does in the Winter Games and in everyday life. We wait for the Lord. We find our strength is renewed. We are able to see the world from the perspective of Jesus and run that race that lies before us without falling down exhausted. In the end, we will not get a gold medal around our neck, not even silver or bronze. We won't get the thrill of having billions of TV viewers watch us stop a puck, ski down a mountain, perform figure skating jumps. But that doesn't matter, friends. The biathlon that Isaiah asks us to enter is a much more private event. Whether at home in Philadelphia or out there in Minnesota with those people, whether it's against the Patriots or whether we're in Pyeongchang and we're flying against the nations of the world, wherever we are planted as Christians, you and I can wait and fly and run, because the Lord gives us that power, accompanies us wherever we go, and calls us to new levels of service. In His most holy name, amen.